From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, January 29th, 2025.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
State officials and public housing representatives expressed relief Wednesday that the Trump administration has rescinded a controversial memo on federal grants. But as Kevin Miller reports, the debate over a freeze on federal funding is not over.
Monday night's memo temporarily freezing grants spawned nationwide confusion among state agencies that rely on federal funding for Medicaid, housing, and other programs. Republican Senator Susan Collins, who leads the powerful Senate committee that divvies up the federal budget, said she was pleased that the Trump administration had rescinded the memo, which she described as overreaching. Bath Housing Authority Executive Director Deborah Keller, who also leads the Maine Association of Public Housing Authorities, also welcomed the news. Keller says it should mean no interruption of funding from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, at least for now.
Maine public housing authorities expect that all funds from HUD will flow as normal for February. This is great news as we can pay our landlords and our tenants. Housing is stable. We do continue to monitor some of the uncertainties and review the executive orders to understand the impact.
But uncertainty remains high in Maine and across the country. President Trump's press secretary said on social media that the administration only rescinded the memo, not the executive orders that aimed to cut off spending on renewable energy, foreign aid, diversity, and other programs. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Days after suspending the refugee admissions program, the Trump administration issued a second directive ordering resettlement agencies to stop providing basic assistance to refugees already in the country. Though much remains uncertain, it's already disrupted services in Maine. Ari Snyder reports.
Typically, the federal government reimburses resettlement agencies for certain expenses related to housing, food, and other basic needs during the first 90 days after a refugee arrives. But Inza Watara, Maine's refugee coordinator through Catholic Charities, says the State Department has advised that it will no longer cover those costs. Watara says that could have immediate consequences for about 200 newly arrived refugees in Maine.
They are all in temporary housing and hotels. Where are these small refugee resettlement agencies that we have in Maine going to get the money to pay for those hotels?
One resettlement organization in Lewiston says it's already had to lay off staff due to the injunction and is frantically trying to raise money to continue supporting the refugees in its care. Another agency says it's had to temporarily pause nutrition programs while scrambling to find other sources of funding. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
President Donald Trump's plan to reduce the federal workforce through deferred resignations is facing sharp criticism from labor unions. About 2 million federal employees are being given the option to resign and continue being paid through September. Exceptions include military personnel, postal workers, and immigration enforcement or national security employees. Those who choose to stay are being asked to return to the office full time. And Andy O'Brien, a spokesperson for the AFL-CIO, says the Trump administration's return to work policy will negatively impact Maine families.
People have been working for many years remotely and doing it well. And now, you know, people who work right here in Maine that I know of are being essentially told they have to sell their house, uproot their family, take their kids out of school, and go to some office somewhere where they haven't worked.
O'Brien says there are plenty of union protections in federal labor contracts, and it's not clear Trump's offer is legal. The deferred resignations are reportedly expected to save $100 billion. The last day for workers to accept the Trump administration's offer is February 6th. Republican state lawmakers are reiterating their opposition to tax increases, potentially setting the stage for tense budget discussions in the months ahead. Republican legislative leaders blamed the estimated $450 million budget shortfall on, quote, irresponsible spending by Governor Janet Mills and the Democrats who control the legislature. In the Republican response to the governor's State of the Budget speech, Senator Trey Stewart of Presque Isle said his caucus is united against the Mills proposal.
We know that Maine is already one of the highest tax states in the country, and Mainers are already struggling to scrape by. This budget throws gas on that fire.
Mills does not support increasing sales or income taxes, but she has proposed increasing taxes on tobacco, cannabis, and video streaming subscriptions to generate more revenue for the state. Advocates in Maine are warning that a proposal in the state budget to cut stipends for childcare workers will have serious consequences for the industry. Maddie Smith reports.
The progressive-leaning Maine Center for Economic Policy estimates the $30 million cut proposed by Governor Janet Mills will reduce the average earnings for nearly 7,500 childcare workers by $4,000 over the next 2 years. Heather Martin, co-executive director for the Maine Association for the Education of Young Children, says that could keep many of these workers from staying in the industry.
At the end of the day, we're talking about wages of adults, but it's really about the children too, because if we don't keep high quality trained professionals in this work, the people who pay the most for that is the children.
Martin says on average, the cut would lower the hourly wage from $16.40 to $15.15. The Mills administration says under the tight budget situation, it's important to return the program to a sustainable level of spending so it can be continued into the future. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
The Maine Hospital Association, federally qualified health centers, and pharmacy organizations are urging state lawmakers to support a bipartisan bill that protects a discount drug program from what they say are attacks by drug companies. Patty White has more.
The program, called 340B, allows eligible safety net providers to purchase drugs at deeply discounted prices, then reinvest those savings in care and services. But some providers in Maine say drug companies are now trying to restrict their use of the program by limiting partnerships with pharmacies. Lori Dwyer, president and CEO of Penobscot Community Healthcare, says those restrictions have already resulted in big revenue losses.
From 2023 to 2024, PCHC's 340B revenue declined nearly 40%, resulting in a nearly $5 million drop in 340B savings in 1 year for our organization.
Dwyer says that's forced PCHC to reduce its workforce and shrink services. The bill, which has bipartisan support, would prohibit drug companies from restricting a 340B healthcare provider from partnering with pharmacies. Trevor Putnacki of the Healthcare Purchaser Alliance of Maine says the 340B program is especially important for small rural health providers.
This bill in particular is so broad, though, that it's creating protections for entities who may not be using 340B dollars in the way the program was designed.
Putnacki says research has found that larger health providers, such as hospitals, don't necessarily pass 340B savings onto consumers, and some only invest a fraction of 340B revenue into charity care. The bill is well-meaning, he says, but more transparency is needed around how hospitals use 340B revenue before the program is changed. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
In a written response, Pharma, which represents drug companies, said hospitals exploit the 340B program by buying medicines at steep discounts and charging massive markups, imposing higher costs on patients, employers, and taxpayers. They say Maine lawmakers should not support the bill. After nearly a year of debate, the Portland Planning Board has approved plans for a parking expansion at the Portland International Jetport. As Nicole Legrisco reports, the expansion comes in response to growing demand from travelers using the airport.
Jetport officials had scaled back the proposal multiple times following pushback from nearby residents and planning board members. The project calls for the paving of new surface lots and will net a total of 265 new parking spaces. Board member Maggie Stanley says she's not thrilled with the idea of paving over wetlands to accommodate more parking, but she acknowledged the lack of public transportation to and from the airport.
Do I wish there was a better way? Yes. Do I think it meets standards? Yes. Do I think this is a bigger issue for the whole state of Maine than just the city of Portland? Yes.
The board ultimately approved the project under the condition that the Jetport create a conservation easement to preserve portions of the property from further development. Funding for the project still needs approval from the city council, but Jetport officials are hopeful the construction can start this summer. In the meantime, they say the Jetport will temporarily park 200 cars on the North Aircraft Apron to accommodate demand during February and April school vacation weeks. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ugrisco.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Erwin Gratz for Morning Edition starting at 5 tomorrow. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.